the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is a busy day. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio show. Supreme Court in action today. And they are deciding what to do about birthright citizenship. This is a massive issue facing America, where this anchor baby industry has generated millions and millions of new American citizens. You've got the illegals coming here, having their babies on American soil just to get all of the benefits of that. And the Trump administration fighting this tooth and nail. So far, every single court has rejected the administration's arguments here. So here we are at the Supreme Court, and it's getting nasty. As a matter of fact, the Chief Justice Roberts had to intervene a couple of times as the liberal justices, the gals, were interrupting attorneys and just acting like fools. So anyway, we're following that, and we'll let you know if any interesting arguments or statements come out of the Supreme Court today. By the way, write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And look, I don't know what happened yesterday on the program, but I mean, thank you, because I got a call from our publisher of my new book coming out in June, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, holding up for our television audience to see. Those of you watching us on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and Twitter, so you'll be able to get a glimpse of the cover of Star Spangled Blessings. Anyway, my publisher said we had a huge spike in pre-orders yesterday, and we've really been encouraging you to do that. We just got word Amazon is making a massive purchase of books to launch Star Spangled Blessings. So that's exciting, because there's just a lot of interest in this little book, which is filled with some incredible stories of how God has blessed America through some very unusual people. And I think you're going to love these stories. Your kids are going to love the American history part of it. We tell stories that have not been told before in American history, with relation to God and Christianity. So I want to encourage you to just hop on to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you get your books. You can pre-order a copy, and it will be delivered to you by June 17th. That's when the book will officially be in bookstores. Many of you have been asking, okay, what about a book tour? Yes, we are doing a book tour, and we're putting together the final pieces on that, and that will extend into the fall. So the book comes out June 17th, and we'll be on the road quite a bit through the summer and the fall promoting the book and getting out and meeting so many of you. One of the things we love doing with our new books is being able to get to your towns, your communities, and shake your hands and get to meet some of the awesome people that listen to us. And it doesn't matter if you're in a small town like, say, Bartlesville, Oklahoma, or Cleveland, Georgia, or if you're in a big city like Houston or Salem or Memphis, we're going to be coming to your neck of the woods. So just be listening, and we'll bring you the very latest on our book tour. Well, I want to start with a disturbing story, and one we've covered for a while here. Jake Tapper's new book comes out in just a few days, and it's called Original Sin. And Jake Tapper, the CNN host, and he's out there writing this. It is really going to be the definitive book on the Biden administration, and specifically the efforts by Biden's inner circle to hide the fact that he was not mentally there, that he had massive cognitive issues and still does. Now, a lot of people are throwing around a lot of blame on who's responsible for all of this. And I would contend that a lot of different people bear equal amounts of responsibility. But ultimately, it comes down to the Biden inner circle, that inner circle who knew what was really going on. And those people need to be held accountable. I mean, a lot of people need to be held accountable. And I think that the drive-by media has to be held accountable to a major extent here, because they had a front row seat to all of this. But they also had skin in the game, and they were afraid that if the American people really knew the extent of the mental illnesses or the challenges of the president of the United States, it would cause massive panic. So that in and of itself is bad enough. But what made it even worse for the media is that they went out and they intentionally smeared and marginalized anybody who went out there and tried to tell the truth about what was going on. I mean, they destroyed careers over this. And the drive-by media, they deserve as much punishment as Biden's inner circle does. But I'm just curious here, ladies and gentlemen, what's the reaction? What do we do here? What is the response? How do we hold these people accountable? Because for 4 years, you had a man named Joe Biden who was elected president, but he wasn't running the country. And we know that now definitively because of Jake Tapper's book. Now, I want to go back to an incident that occurred when Joe Biden was on stage and he got lost, and Obama literally had to drag him off the stage. The administration came out and said it was all a deep fake, that this never happened, that, you know, our eyes were deceiving us, that Joe Biden was not lost, that Obama did not drag him off the stage. Well, Jake Tapper was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
Obama's side of that story is he wasn't sure what was going on, but he just wanted to get out of there, and he wasn't going to get out of there without Biden, so he grabbed him, and it was more just his impatience than anything else. But other people who were there, and we should note that the Biden White House falsely, when people showed that clip and asked what was going on, said it was a cheap fake. They did this all the time when there was video that seemed to show Biden acting in an odd or unusual, seemingly out of it way. They would call it a cheap fake. It was not fake. It was actual video. And people in the arena who did not see the horrifying scene behind the stage, but in the arena, Congresswoman Annie Custer, John Favreau, former Obama chief speechwriter, and others, just from that event and Biden walking towards the edge of the stage, thought, oh, my God, something is wrong here. He's not going to make it.
So, and again, we all knew this to be the case, and yet CNN, MSDNC, CNN, by the way, Jake Tapper's employer, they all bought in on this, don't believe your lying eyes. That's what they told us. So God bless Scott Jennings, who's out there by himself, the lone conservative on CNN. And he was explaining that Democrats have a big problem here, because here's the broader issue. And this is the issue. And I'll explain the talking point, because the Democrats, they got together behind closed doors and they realize how catastrophic this story is about to be for them, because nobody can trust them. They can no longer be trusted. They knew from the very start, the party leaders, the party elders, and there are a lot of them, they all knew what was going on here. They all knew. So somebody wanted Joe Biden in that chair, in the Oval Office, knowing he had no functioning brain. And the reason why is they had an agenda to shove through. And when you look at how, and you see this now, because Donald Trump has issued just hundreds of executive orders undoing a lot of the cultural damage the Biden administration inflicted on this country. And I guarantee you, Joe Biden had no idea. I don't think he had any clue what was being done in his name under his forged signature during these past 4 years. And the question is, what sort of, and these are the questions that Congress ought to be addressing. And I don't know what the hell Congress is doing right now, but it's completely irritating me. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But what they ought to be doing is impaneling lawmakers to investigate what exactly happened here. Were there criminal acts in the cover up of Joe Biden's health? That's the question. But this is insanity. So Scott Jennings was calling out the Democrats on CNN, And he also brought up the fact, because they're like, well, we really didn't have any evidence until Jake Tapper's book came out. That is a load of hooey. We actually had the Robert Herr tapes, that panel, that report, the Herr report. And the Herr report, the only reason, if you go back and remember this, folks, the only reason they did not prosecute or indict Joe Biden is because he was too feeble. Cut number three.
Robert Herr wrote in a report, I can't even charge this man because if I put him in front of a jury, they're going to say, oh, this is just a confused old man. We could never get a conviction. We had official government evidence that he was in cognitive decline. And what did the White House do? They smeared Robert Herr. They smeared him.
Yeah,
Do you guys, the Democrats who ran your party, who ran the White House, the people who lied to you as a journalist, do you not feel any sense of outrage about Green or anybody else in the line?
We don't know what's going to be in the book, by the way.
No, they don't know what to say. But there ought to be mass shame. They ruin people's lives. They denigrated people's careers. They really hurt a lot of people here over what they did. There were folks out there legitimately reporting these issues. And yet time after time after time, the media gave Joe Biden and the administration cover. As a matter of fact, George Clooney was horrified. And what was it that Barack Hussein Obama told George Clooney? Don't say anything. That's in the book, too. That's right. Obama told Clooney, don't say anything about this. Don't say anything at all. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just curious here, because the Democrat talking point is the following. Well, we just need to move on. That's in the past. So we just need to move on. We've got bigger things to deal with. No, I think this is something the Democrats have to deal with. And if they don't, their party's done. It's over. The American people cannot trust the Democrats anymore. As a matter of fact, there's new polling data out suggesting that the Democrats are now at an all-time low, like all-time low. Cut number 11.
Congressional Democrats staring down their lowest approval rating since 2013. Only 30% of registered voters approve and 66% disapprove. A new NBC News poll found the Democratic Party as a whole now sits at its lowest favorability in the history of its polling. Just 27% of voters have a positive view of the party.
So, and I'm surprised it's that high. I really am. But look, they are imploding, and I hear President Trump, and the president was talking about this yesterday, and it was like, you know, these people are slap crazy nuts. And he wants to be able to step in and help them a little bit, but he said, why would I want to do that? Because, you know, they're imploding. Cut number five.
They would say it's 80-20. What's not, a lot of these things are not 80-20, like transgender for everybody. Let's have transgender for everybody, your kids, everybody. That's not an 80-20. They always say that's 80-20. That's 99-1, I would say. So, look, in one way, I don't like talking about it because I don't want to talk them out of it. Because, you know, it would be harder to beat them if they were normal and things. It shows that they're almost insane. And they do suffer from Trump derangement syndrome at a high level. And I guess I'm honored by that.
Well, and you should be, Mr. President, because they are suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. But again, ladies and gentlemen, the question at hand, should we just let bygones be bygones, or do people need to be held accountable here for this cover-up? I truly believe, even beyond Watergate, this is the greatest political scandal in the history of the Republic. This is unbelievable what the Democrats have done and what they put this country through. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Again, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. During the break, head over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and get yourself a pre-ordered copy of the new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was... We needed some sound
Where
effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you gotta get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, folks. Coming up, the Republicans having some issues now on reconciliation, and it has to do with SALT, the state and local taxes and the exemptions there. We're going to give you a little bit of a deep dive, some background intel on what's happening. But I will say this, it could be a sticking point, at least one Republican lawmaker, that's Michael Lawler out of New York, is among those opposed to this. So we'll get into that. Someone's sent me a note on the Facebook page saying, Todd, is Jake Tapper guilty in all of this as well? Absolutely. I think Jake Tapper, and here's what bothers me about Jake Tapper. He knew all of this all along, but he was saving all of the dirt so he could write a book and he could make a lot of money. Got a big problem with that. So Jake Tapper, I believe, chief among people, should be ashamed of what he has done. Also, Jake Tapper on his program would belittle and demean anybody who dared raise the issue of whether or not Joe Biden's front porch light was still on. And he needs to be held accountable for that. Quite frankly, he ought to lose his job because he not only deceived the American people, he deceived the viewers of CNN, and there are not that many, but still there are a handful, and those people, they deserve to know the truth. Also, somebody said, well, what's up with Anchor Babies? So here's the deal with Anchor Babies. Anchor Babies are born to non-citizens, and the whole point of it is that the illegals come here and they have their babies. And their thought process is if they have a baby on American soil, that baby is an American, and therefore they will be less likely to deport mommy and daddy back to wherever they came from. That's in a nutshell what the anchor babies are. And again, all of this goes back to the Civil War, and the arguments being made are that we need to get this under control, otherwise we are going to be overrun. And I would contend that we've already been overrun. But the whole idea of due process, and I know there's a raging debate about due process and whether illegals should be given due process. Well, they had to be given due process under the Constitution, but I believe the due process for illegals needs to be within a couple of hours. You arrest the illegal, you bring them before a judge immediately, same day. They have an opportunity to prove whether or not they are a citizen. And if they're not a citizen, boom, you're out of here. But there are many conservatives, many Republicans who say my take is xenophobic, that we ought to, if no matter how long it takes, it may take 5-10 years, we ought to allow every illegal the right to prove that they're here legally, whether they are or not. For me, it's a pretty simple thing. Show us your papers. You don't have papers? Bye-bye. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us today. Let's go right to the phones. North Carolina, Charles is on the line. Hi, Charles. What's on your mind today?
Todd, I want to weigh in on this birthright citizenship argument that's going on right now and whether children born to illegal aliens are automatic citizens simply because they're born here. In my opinion, they are not, and I think this should be a slam dunk case for the Supreme Court. When the 14th Amendment was written, it was written because former slaves were considered property. Even though the Civil War had ended, the Civil War did not end slavery. That took the 13th Amendment, and it also did not make automatic citizens out of the former slaves. That's why the 14th Amendment was written. And then on the heels of that, the 15th Amendment that gave black men the right to vote. But if anybody in their right mind thinks that two-thirds of the Congress and three-quarters of the states that ratified that amendment could look into the future 160 years and be told, hey, one day there's going to be an American president named Joe Biden that is going to deliberately unsecure the border and allow millions of illegal immigrants coming up from Mexico from 120 countries to invade our country, and their children are going to be born here, and they're going to be considered citizens of the United States. They would have laughed in your face, and that amendment would have never passed.
No, it would not have. And as President Trump pointed out earlier today, Charles, there was a legitimate reason for this in the aftermath of the Civil War. So the question is, do we still need some form of birthright citizenship today?
And tied to that, I'm going to say no. I mean, if you break into this country illegally, you are not entitled to birthright citizenship. The parents that broke in illegally have citizenship of the country from which they came from, and therefore the children also are citizens of that country as well, since their parents are. But, Todd, I think what this is really about is the balance of power in Congress. It's about the 2030 census. You know, if you calculate 14 to 20 million illegals, and you do the math by 750,000. Each congressman's about 750,000 represents about 750,000 people. You're talking about close to 20 congressmen that should not even be there in these states where these illegals are heavily concentrated, like Illinois. Yeah.
Well, and Charles, to that point, California and Texas, those are going to be the two states that have almost 50%. Of the illegals live in those two states.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and then you've got other states like Illinois and everything. So they should not be counted when it comes to congressional apportionment. The Democrats want that because this is their plan. This is all by design. This is their plan to remake and reshape America into a country that is no longer going to be recognizable. If this birthright citizenship is allowed to stand, And no, they due process, you alluded to that earlier, Todd, due process should take about 2 hours. They didn't follow due process to get into this country, and they should not expect much due process to get out, other than if they, unless they can produce papers that show they're a citizen. If not, then they need to go, and they need to go immediately.
You know, what troubles me here, Charles, is we're seeing the signs of the old Republican Party where they're just not willing to stand up to all of the rhetoric that's out there and the fake news. We're seeing that with what happened outside the immigration detention facility there in New Jersey. We're seeing it with the whole due process issue. And we have elected these people to do a job. And Charles, I am just concerned that they are not going to have the fortitude to carry through with the orders.
So, Todd, why do you think that is?
Well, a lot of them are afraid of the, for example, big pharma. So you've got a lot of lobbyists that are involved here. They get a lot of money from these individuals. And the fact of the matter is they go to the same cocktail parties in Washington that the Democrats go to. And I think everybody's in bed together, to be perfectly blunt about it.
Well, I don't disagree at all. I think you're 100% correct. But the fact remains, nobody 150 years ago would ever imagine that the United States would be invaded by a foreign power. You know, we had just concluded the Mexican-American War. We had settled that. The Civil War was over. And, we were separated by two oceans from Asia and Europe. But what has happened is that American politicians have deliberately allowed this country to be invaded. And it necessitates drastic measures to get these people, invaders, out of here. But, they should not be declared citizens of this country because they're just not legal. That's not what the 14th Amendment was designed to do. And I just think the Supreme Court should recognize that because if they don't, it's going to be we're going to be finished as a country, I think.
Charles, I hear you on that, and I think you are right. And again, going back to the census, and Charles, thank you for the call. Going back to the census, this is what the Democrats are trying to do. When you look at where the illegals have been placed, this has all been very strategic. The illegals are being placed all across. First of all, they're in high concentrations in places like California and Texas. But I'm going to share with you the top 10 counties, and this is shocking information. The top 10 counties with the highest percentage of foreign-born population. You folks living in Miami-Dade County, there are more people living in your county that were born outside of the United States than people that were actually born in America. Over 54% of your population in Miami-Dade County, they came from somewhere other than America. Queens County, New York. That's Queens in New York City. 47%, nearly half of the population of Queens. Now, does that mean all of these people are illegal? No, it does not. I would say a big number of those people are, but these are just the percentage of foreign-born population. Hudson County, New Jersey, Santa Clara County, California, Kennedy County in Texas, Manassas Park City in Virginia, Broward County in Florida, San Mateo County in California, Kings County, that's Brooklyn, in New York. Those are the counties that have nearly 50% foreign-born populations. And again, all of this is meant to, they were relocating people. Why do you think they're finding hundreds of illegals in Nashville, Tennessee right now? Well, the reason why is the Biden administration intentionally relocated a lot of the illegals to red state Tennessee with, again, the hopes of skewing the census numbers because those census numbers are used to determine congressional districts. So all of this at the end game would work out to benefit the Democrats in Congress. That's what's been going on here. It's a pretty ugly thing, this business that the Democrats are literally in the business of human trafficking. That's what's going on here. But again, Charles pointed out, and the estimate is about 20, the official estimate is 20 million. I contend That number is closer to 40 or 50 million illegals living here. But let's just say you've got those 20 million illegals. You take those numbers out, then you're going to be losing Democrat seats in Congress. And that's really what this is all about. So the Supreme Court has a big decision to make. And the very simple question, will the conservative justices stick together on this? And is the Trump administration, are they making a good argument here? And by the way, Donald Trump, writing about this on True Social, he says, birthright citizenship was not meant for people taking vacations to become permanent citizens of the United States and bringing their families with them, all the time laughing at the suckers that we are. The United States is the only country in the world that does this. For what reason, nobody knows, but the drug cartels love it. We are, for the sake of being politically correct, a stupid country. But in actuality, this is the exact opposite of being politically correct. And it is yet another point that leads to the dysfunction of America. Birthright citizenship is about the babies of slaves. As conclusive proof, the Civil War ended in 1865. The bill went to Congress less than a year later, 1866, and was passed shortly after that. It had nothing to do with illegal immigration for people wanting to scam our country from all parts of the world. The president goes on to say they've done this for many years. This had to do with Civil War, and the babies of slaves who our politicians felt correctly needed protection. Please explain this to the Supreme Court of the United States. Again, remember the Civil War ended in 1865. The bill goes to Congress in 1866. We did not have people. Hold on, let me get this back here. We did not have people pouring into our country from all over South America and the rest of the world. It wasn't even a subject. What we had were the babies of slaves. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Good luck with this very important case. God bless the USA. God bless you, Mr. President. God bless you, sir. And then the president just moments ago posted another True Social report. Remember, it all started right after the Civil War ended. It had nothing to do with current day immigration policy. President Trump's right. We are suckers. Big time suckers. And you better watch out here, folks, because if we allow this to go unchecked, then we will have problems ever regaining control of a Republican majority in Congress. We will. That's the whole point. And that's why they're relocating all of these illegals to red states. And if you're go back, we did a story about this. Gosh, what was it? Last year, we did a story about this where bright red, and there were very few neighborhoods, but in New York City, there are areas that are staunchly Republican. And those areas, all of a sudden, people woke up one day and they were literally relocating the illegals to their neighborhoods. You think that was coincidental? No, it was not coincidental. It's all part of their plan. It's pretty evil and despicable. Devious. Let's go to Jerry in Arkansas. Jerry, what say you?
Good morning, Todd. I wanted to play a little compare and contrast here. At the same time, the Democrats are saying, we can't use the, I'm going to call it the enemy combatant law. I think that's how they're referring to it. At the same time, they're saying we can't use the enemy combatant thing to deport Venezuelans because it doesn't honor the original intent of the law. And I love this part. It's old law. At the same time, they're saying that they're arguing in the Supreme Court to keep 150, 160-year-old birthright citizens law, and they want to use it in a way that does not honor the original intent.
You know, that's a fair point. And by the way, only about 70 years separate those two laws, the Alien Enemies Act, 1798, and then you're talking about birthright citizenship in 1866. So, yeah, it's a great point you raise.
And we should just get rid of the enemy combatants thing because it's old and we never have to use it. Oh, my goodness. I'd say that makes it one of the greatest laws ever, Todd. I wish the laws against murder, which are much older, wish we didn't have to use them. Should we just get rid of any law that dates back to before the 1800s?
Let's go back to the Ten Commandments. Do we really need them? I mean, come on. You know?
They're old.
They're old.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
All right, Jerry. Well, it's Jerry raises a fair point here, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, you hear a lot of our big-time guests, and they phone in on the show on our Patriot Mobile newsmaker line. And we love Patriot Mobile. They're America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And they are proud to partner with us, and we are proud to partner with them in promoting the beliefs that America was founded on. And I want you to go check out their great offers. By the way, an incredible cell phone service, and they also sell phones. Now, you can keep your phone if you want it, but you can also buy a new one, and they're happy to help you out. When you call 972-PATRIOT, again, that's 972-PATRIOT, when you call, you're going to be talking to an American citizen. That's right. The call center is based right here in America, and it is staffed by Americans who speak English, which is nice. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Go to their website. Check out all the services they offer. Use my promo code, Todd. It's all there on the front page, and you'll be able to get free activation. Check them out. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Jerry the Liberal in Milwaukee. Hey, Jerry, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. If the problem with this is that the 14th Amendment is quite clear, people subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, unless they're like the children of diplomats or people like that, are citizens. I mean, the writers of the 14th Amendment could have limited it to people who are the children of slaves, but they didn't. And the Supreme Court later in the late 1800s wrote a decision that the child, someone born of Chinese parents, people emigrated from China, is a citizen. And obviously a person like that wasn't the child of slaves. So, I mean, if you want to say that people who are here illegally or whatever shouldn't be citizens, fine. Just change the Constitution. But you have to change the Constitution. The Constitution's explicit. Everyone, you know, with very limited circumstances, is a U.S. citizen.
Well, the question it involves, and the argument that's being made at the Supreme Court today, and involves the term that's in there, the jurisdiction. That's the issue. And I think that's that's what they're arguing today, is that word. And whether or not that actually applies to people that are illegally entering our country to intentionally give birth so that their child can be an American citizen. And that is something. And again, you know, the whole intent of that amendment was, again, about slavery and making sure the children of slaves were American citizens.
Okay, one, if that's the intent, they could have wrote it that way, but they didn't write it that way. And two, if someone comes here illegally, are they subject to being arrested? Are they subject to being arrested if they break the laws? I went to Canada. When I was in Canada, I was subject to the laws of Canada because, you know, I had to abide by the laws of Canada. When you're in the United States, you're subject to the laws. You're subject to the laws of the state you are. That's what it means, and that's what it meant in the early 1800s. There was a court case in the Marshall, when Marshall was the Supreme Court Chief Justice, that dealt with what subject to the jurisdiction means. Usually subject to the laws of the U.S.
Let me ask you this, and I'm curious. We've only got about 30 seconds here, but do you believe, let's just say, a mom and dad come here illegally to give birth on American soil. Do you think the mom and dad, if they're arrested, should be deported?
I mean, depending, maybe. But
what do you mean, maybe? I mean, that's a yes or no question right there.
Okay. Yes, but the child should be a U.S. citizen under the Constitution. That's what matters. We're talking about the Constitution.
Well, we aren't talking about the Constitution, and there's a lot of debate. Even the Federalist Society said this is a horrible policy, but we're probably stuck with it. So my issue is, okay, if we're going to be stuck with it, we have to make it as painful as possible for the illegals. So if you come here to give birth, well, you know what? You've got a choice. You can either leave your kid here or you can take them with you, but you are here illegally, and you, mom and dad, have to go back to where you came from. And maybe that's the hardball approach here to dealing with this crisis, because our nation is being invaded. Jerry, I got to run. Appreciate the call. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. A lot going on. By the way, phone lines now open, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Write this down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend from the Daily Caller, White House correspondent Reagan Reese. Reagan, I hope you're doing well today.
Hey, thank you. I'm doing great. How are you?
You know, Reagan, we've been following with a great joy this triumphant tour that President Trump is making across the Middle East over these past couple of days. And from your vantage point there at the White House, how are things being perceived?
Yeah, I think this has been a positive trip that the White House is touting, for sure. You know, things are a bit quiet at the White House, of course. There is quite a bit of press that is over with the president in the trip to the Middle East. But, you know, a lot of their press, you're still at the White House. These trips can be awfully expensive and competitive to go on. So there's still some buzz going around at the White House. Reporters reporting live from the White House, talking to officials about the trip, trying to grab officials who are walking in and out of the White House grounds and get their thoughts on the trip. But I'm sure we're also, it's been, I think, a great opportunity for the reporters over there to hear from President Trump on Air Force One. He's due back tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll hear from him soon as well.
Okay, so but again, the question, Reagan, is what is the perception there from White House officials? Are they pleased with the with how things are going thus far on the president's Middle Eastern trip?
Yeah, I mean, if you take a look at the what we've seen so far, that Caroline Leavitt has put out statements, Stephen Chung, the officials that are on the ground with President Trump, they're touting this as a great success. Reading just what the Beltway was saying this morning in Politico and Axios, there were Biden officials who were remarking at how fast President Trump is getting work done while he is in the Middle East. And so I think that is even more notable than what the current White House officials are saying. And again, these current White House officials seem pleased with what President Trump is doing in the Middle East. But the fact that there are Biden officials who are going to Axios and Politico Playbook and saying that they are, you know, jealous of the work that President Trump is doing, of how fast the president is working, that they wish they could have worked for a president that could work at such speeds, is even more notable.
Reagan Reese joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And Reagan, I know that you've got a piece up on the Daily Caller. Even in these early days, looking ahead to 2026 next year, it's a long shot anyway, given political history for the political party in control to maintain control. But you're writing that that GOP operatives actually have a plan to win in 2026.
Yeah, well, you know, the reason they have a plan is for the reasons that you just stated. They know that historically, the incumbents struggle, that the midterms are typically a down year for the party that is in control. And so, what the GOP operatives are seeing now, and this is not just, you know, consultants across the country. This is the White House. This is the RNC. This is the NRCC, the NRSC. They're seeing an opportunity with Democrats being in complete disarray. They don't know who their party leader is. And after the country shifted in almost every area to the right, we've now seen the Democrats embrace the almost furthest left candidates that their party has to offer, AOC and Bernie Sanders. And so what all of these party officials see is a real opportunity to use the Democrats being in disarray to capitalize on that and grow in the midterms. And how do you do that? And so it really starts right now, is what officials told me, is getting Democrats on the record defending those unpopular ideas like men and women's sports, bashing President Trump's progress on the border crisis, et cetera. It starts with getting footage of them bombing Tesla dealerships, keying Tesla cars, all that craziness and unrest that you're down the road middle voters are going to be unhappy with. And being able to use that footage to help persuade people in the 2026 midterms, it also comes down to the economy. This is pretty much what everyone told me across the board. And when I spoke to the White House about this, they're very aware of this. And they said, what we're really looking at is Q2, how we can get the economy roaring. And if we can get the economy roaring, we're very confident that the 2026 midterms we can continue to make progress.
Do you, again, anticipate that the Republicans concerned, rather, about the lack of movement? They haven't really been able to get a lot of the president's agenda through Congress just yet. Do they have concerns that might come back and haunt them in the midterms?
You know, one thing I heard was that if everything isn't codified by the 2026 midterms, if Congress doesn't make as much progress as it hopes to, that the message that could be used there is to the voters, telling them, hey, there's reason to send us back for another 2 years. We need you to vote for us so we can keep building on the progress we've made. And I think that's an interesting message that we could come into play. But I've also been speaking to groups kind of outside of the RNC, the NRCC, the White House, et cetera, about what work they're doing to codify the president's agenda. And so Heritage Action is actually working on drafting legislation and lobbying senators and congressmen on the Hill for specific bills, like permanently ending DEI offices in the federal government, et cetera, making sure that it is codified that there are only two sexes, men and women, that is recognized in the federal government. And so beyond Congress, I do think that there is some frustration from these think tanks, from these outside groups, and they are starting to put pressure on Congress saying, hey, now's the time. Let's do this. Let's solidify the president's agenda.
All right. Well, Reagan, good reporting. And folks, go to Daily Caller and check out Reagan's great piece she has on the midterms. Reagan, we always appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right, Reagan Reese, everybody, from the Daily Caller. She is the White House correspondent there, and you can read her work over at dailycaller.com. Real quick, I want to go to the phones. Ron, holding on over the break, wanted to weigh in on birthright citizenship. Hey, Ron, what's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. I just keep wondering about, people in their history. Anyway, the American Indians did not get U.S. citizenship until, I believe, an act of Congress was passed in 1926. Now, that might be off 1 or 2 years, but it did occur in 1920. So the so-called 14th Amendment was the birthright citizenship, doesn't apply to everybody. Never have. But that's the most, clear example where it did not apply.
Yeah, I think that was the Indian Citizenship Act that you're talking about, Ron, and you're absolutely right. Native Americans born on American soil, they were considered, but it was that was their birthright, but it was eventually enshrined, as you pointed out, in 1924, not in 1866. As President Trump, I think he has mentioned this multiple times, the argument is that the 1866 law was meant for the children of slaves born in America.
Yes, sir. And it also, identifies specific categories of people that the 14th Amendment did not apply to beyond America, Native Americans.
Yes. And yes, you're absolutely correct there, Ron. So, again, hopefully the Supreme Court will be thoughtful on this. Typically, the way it works is that immediately after they hear the arguments, the Supreme Court justices, they go back to their quarters and they vote and they make a decision pretty quickly. We won't know about it until later once all of the decisions have been written. So, Ron, appreciate that call and thank you for listening. I want to go back to something that Reagan Reese said. And wow, this one's a doozy here, folks. She said one of the arguments, because the Republicans know that they have completely blown this opportunity. That one of the options is, and one of the arguments they're going to make to voters is that you've got to send us back, you've got to give us the majority so we can finish codifying President Trump's executive orders. Would that compel you to get out and vote in the midterm elections, ladies and gentlemen? Because my argument right back to the Republicans would be, well, we gave you 2 years. What did you do? And why did you squander those 2 years? And how do we know you're not going to squander the next 2 years? Because President Trump, whether you like it or not, is a lame duck president, right? He is not running again, and he's made that very clear that he's not running for another term. Anyway, there is a movement afoot by a small group, and by small, I mean small, 16 Republicans, pardon me, 17, writing a letter. Congressman Andy Ogles penned this letter, and they're urging their Republican colleagues and Speaker Mike Johnson to prioritize cementing all of these priorities into law. Otherwise, folks, this is all, it's all a show. It means absolutely nothing unless this stuff gets codified. As the Republicans write, that unless Congress acts, many of these victories, Trump victories, are at risk. A future Democrat president could erase them with a stroke of the pen. We cannot let that happen. If we want this new era of American greatness to last, we must codify the president's actions into law. The 17 Republicans acknowledge that how the GOP-led House is currently working to iron out the deals or the details of Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill, including an expansive tax package and funds for border security and defense through the budget reconciliation process. They write that they appreciate the speaker's leadership in restoring fiscal sanity. However, the same urgency must now be applied to securing the president's legacy and the legacy of this Congress. So the question, ladies and gentlemen, and you heard Reagan Reese say, they've already got this figured out. They're going to go to you, the voters, and say, you know, we just had a lot to do, and we didn't have a lot of time because we had to go on vacations, and, you know, we only work a couple of days out of the month, so we need more time. And if you send us back, we're going to be able to get it done. And I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, are you confident in that? Is that the right messaging for the Republicans here? I would quite frankly like to see them working around the clock right now to get all of this stuff codified. At least then we're going to have something to run on. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Let's go to the phones. Kaiser, Oregon. Brandon listening to us on KYKN. Great radio station. Hi, Brandon. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Yeah, I just wanted to reach out and, you know, share a solution that we here on Oregon have actually come up with according to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, specifically Article 1, Section 1, stating that we declare that all men, when they form a social compact, are equal in right, that all power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness. And remind everyone that we have at all times a right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such manner as we may think proper. And here on Oregon, I'm actually an acting committee member with the Oregon Statewide General Assembly, which is a civilian court of record. So we've created our own common law court of record. And we confront all 36 sheriffs for not taking a proper oath to the proper Constitution. And we're just doing the best we can to create and be the de jure provisional government on Oregon. And we have established that in November 2022.
All right, so let me see if I get this straight. So you've created your own government.
We created a common law court of record, and
right.
Let me ask you this.
I know I get it. So what's to stop somebody else from doing the exact same thing? They may not recognize, you know, your authority, your provisional government's authority, so they go out and start theirs, And then somebody doesn't like that one, so they can start theirs. So you could have, I don't know, thousands of little provisional governments here in Oregon.
That's absolutely correct. And that is a possibility that that could happen. But we have, you know, declared and separated ourselves as sovereign men and women.
Do you still pay taxes?
You know, that's a very touchy subject. I think some people believe that they are required to do so.
But if you guys don't recognize the United States, is that what you're saying? You don't recognize the United States government or the Oregon state government or both?
Yeah. Both are fictitious corporate entities for profit that no longer have any sort of oath to the people, or at least not a proper one. So they're already defunct. They are in fraud. The whole system is actually, in fact, based in fraud.
I'm really intrigued by this argument. But again, who's to say, you know, what if somebody comes and we may have somebody call in and say that your provisional government is a fraud? I mean, at what point? I mean, you just cannot. I mean, you're saying you could have thousands of provisional governments? I mean,
so there is a rule that when a government or agency or person at any point in time does not rebut a statement, it becomes fact. And so by notifying all the three-letter agencies and informing them that they have 7, 14, and 21 days to respond, and they do not, our statement as being the provisional de jure government on Oregon stands as fact.
I see. What happens if there's a fire at your house? Who do you guys call? Do you guys have your own fire department?
Well, here's the thing. It's not to say that at the moment the de facto cannot run alongside the de jure government and work together.
So it's kind of like a homeschool government there. You want all the benefits. I mean, you want all the benefits without being a part of the country or the state. That's what it sounds like.
That's not necessarily true and correct. And when you're talking about benefits, what are we giving up for those benefits? And what have we been?
You're getting
so
a firefighter with a hose, I would say, to put out the fire, or a police officer that would patrol your streets and keep you safe. I'm not disputing what you're saying. I'm just wondering, how does that actually work, you know, in practical terms?
Well, I mean, the fire department, police, law enforcement, it originally policing started as community policing, right? So,
but it's not now. It's right?
Correct.
Okay. So.
Yeah, but I did want to share with you, if you or your listeners are interested in getting more information on how they can do this, we do have a website, and it's orsja.org.
All right. Real quick, before I let you go, I mean, we got your website there. Do you guys have license plates and driver's licenses?
We do believe in the right to travel, and we also understand that is a situation that is – with the de facto.
No. I hear you. I'm hearing you, Brandon. And again, if you want to start your own government or country, I say have at it, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, you got to have a fire department, right? At the very least. Good luck to you. Welcome back, everybody. And look, I'm not mocking the gentleman who called in from Oregon. I'm just, you know, when somebody calls in life, and we've had several of these calls over the years, and people say that they don't recognize the authority of the federal government and or the state government. And okay, by the way, the Constitution does not allow a state to secede or anybody else to secede from the Union. So there is no legal recourse at this time for that to happen. So, you know, barring a civil war, that's the only way that you will be able to break off from the United States. But again, I mean, if you have thousands and thousands, I mean, you can have, let's just say you're in a neighborhood and you have 1,000 residents. Every single one of those residents could decide, you know what, I'm going to start my own government. Okay, well, that's great. Who's going to, you know, how do you pave the streets? What do you do for education? I'm assuming people homeschool, but all right, let's talk about fire protection. Let's talk about police protection. Let's talk about electricity. Where are you getting your electric bill from? Where are you getting your electricity from? What about your water, your sewage? I mean, there are a lot of questions that go into this. Again, if you're going to start your own country, That's what I'm trying to get. That was I was trying to get to that point. All right, let's go to Carolyn in Hendersonville, North Carolina, listening to us on WHKP. Hi, Carolyn. What's on your mind?
Todd, I think that fella wanted his cake and eat it too.
Who's paying for the cake, though? That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah. I think you're supposed to give him a cake.
Ah.
But my complaint is that we can't get our elected officials and our legislature to realize that we need help with the property tax because our property tax is funding our schools. And we need a sales tax where anybody that buys a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk, or a car, or anything, that they pay sales tax on it. That helps finance our schools. I have a friend in Georgia, and their tax, their property tax on the schools is about three times what the police officers and the rest of the county gets. That's how much the schools get. And it's all on the property.
So let me ask you, because this is a fascinating story, because I live in Memphis, Tennessee. Our state is an income tax-free state. The state of Mississippi, for example, is not until recently, and they're working through all of that to get rid of the state income tax. But all that to say, our sales tax is a little bit higher here in Memphis. So what a lot of people do in Tennessee is they go across the state line to go grocery shopping where the sales tax is a little bit lower. Or they go to Arkansas across the river to do their shopping. And so you're saying that you think everybody needs to have a sales tax in everywhere.
That's right, because if they're going across the state to Arkansas, then Arkansas's getting their money, and Tennessee's educating the kids, but they're not getting that money.
It's a fair concern.
They're getting it from the property owners.
Oh, yes. And trust me, I know quite a bit about that. Our property taxes are going through the roof. Through the roof, Carolyn.
It's not right for us older folks to have to finance for these younger folks who don't own property, don't want to own property, just get by. And then they don't even pay much sales tax.
Carolyn, this is...
their kids are being educated.
Carolyn, this is an unpopular opinion. And I know it may not make a lot of sense. But in my estimation, when you reach a certain age, and I guess that's the debate, what age? But when you reach a certain age, you should be exempt from paying a lot of these taxes. So if you're like, let's say you're, 70 years old or whatever, and you've put in, it just seems to me that we've got to do a better job of taking care of our senior citizens who are on a fixed income that have been good law-abiding taxpayers through the years. And I know this flies in the face of just about every conservative principle out there, but I still think we ought to have some concession to take care of our seniors.
Yeah, but we also need to because you go to Walmart and you see a lot of these Hispanics and all go out with several hundred dollars worth of groceries in tow with about six kids. So, the only thing that you get out of them is what little bit of sales tax that you get.
Well, and most of those, and again, most illegals, and I don't know the status of the people that you're seeing, they're getting government assistance. So that's still coming out of our pocket.
Yeah, and that's not right. Trump's, I think he'd like to get rid of that and make them go to work. And makes it bad, too, that a lot of these are working, and I know, making real good money, and a lot of these people are paying them in cash, and they don't pay any tax, and the only little bit that they pay is what they pay in sales tax, which a lot of times is not very much.
Well, it's a fair point. Yeah, Carolyn, it's a fair point you raise. And again, this goes back, and I believe they're actually moving ahead with a plan that they would not allow illegals to get EBT cards. But again, this is, if we got rid of, and I know it just sounds ludicrous, folks, but if we got rid of the 20 million people that are living here illegally and get them back to where they came from, you would be shocked at how much money we're going to save and the resources that will be made available to you, the law-abiding American citizen that are currently being used by the illegals. I'm just telling you, it would make a world of difference. Carolyn, gotta run. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Rhett in Atlanta, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Rhett. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say how incensed I was about the lady earlier in the hour that said maybe the Republicans need another vote us in again so we could finish. Here's the news to the current Republicans. You won't be the current Republicans. You'll be primaried if you don't get this work done.
You're not kidding. I think the average Republican voter is going to be done. I mean, there's already growing frustration. I've been trying to alert Republican leadership. They don't want to hear it. They've got a plan, and they think that their plan is going to get them reelected. And I hope they're right. But Red, I'm telling you right now, at this pace, I don't think it's going to work.
It won't. And again, if they don't get no tax on Social Security, no tax on tips, and no tax on overtime, they for sure won't be elected again.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Rhett, and we've got to play smart politics. We've got a lot to do here. And here's my concern, Rhett. I think we have far too many rhinos in Congress, and many that we don't even know about, and they're slowing all of this down. They're slowing down the Trump agenda, and they don't want it to pass. They don't want these changes, because what Trump is doing is Trump, if all of these executive orders are codified, then we are looking at generational change in America, Rhett, and that means generational change in the way politics is done in Washington, D.C. And a lot of these folks, their kids, their spouses, they're all living off the government dime.
Yes, sir. I just can't believe that they would even start saying this here. They've only been just over 100 days.
You heard it. Rhett, you heard it, right? Look, a lot of these conservative talk radios, they bring the guest on and they don't listen. They do not listen. But I listen, because when you listen, you're going to pick up those little nuggets, and you're absolutely right to be incensed by this notion, this argument. All right, Rhett, I got to run. Thank you for the call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Anna in Georgia. Hi, Anna. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Todd. I'm a state certified residential appraiser here in Georgia. And while there's not a significant, you don't completely stop paying state income taxes, but there are tax benefits for seniors here. 62 to 64, you can allow the retirement income exclusion of up to $35,000 a person. And then from 65 or older, it increases to $65,000 per person and $130,000 for a married couple filing jointly.
Oh, is that right?
As far as real property taxes, the people that are 65 and older, as long as they're living in their house, they don't pay. We call it school tax here. But if they do rent the house to somebody, which a lot of people do nowadays for income, then they are taxed. But I can tell you that it's not significant amount of tax. But we have 159 counties here in Georgia. It's the largest state east of the Mississippi. So that's a lot of that's a lot of people that are 65 or 70 years older that will not pay school tax.
Well, and again, it's to your point, Anna, and it really is state by state. What you know, some states do offer tax relief to people, you know, over the age of 65, or in your case, you mentioned 62. So it, you know, again, it would be wise to check in with your state and see, you know, if in fact there are some opportunities to be exempt. I think the concern that one of our callers had, though, was they believe that, you know, there need to be some protections for senior citizens. And especially when you're looking at property tax increases, which are skyrocketing, I can tell you, in the Memphis, Tennessee area. And I know that by, you know, by personal knowledge. So, Anna, thank you for the call and thank you for that info. Let's go to Bill in North Carolina. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I just think a few minutes ago you mentioned, I think you said that secession was unconstitutional, but you got to remember the Constitution is silent on the issue of secession. I mean, you know, we fought a war over that. And the unilateral right to secede was settled a few years later in 1869 with the Supreme Court case. But the Constitution itself is silent on secession.
Right. But the Supreme Court case, which is what everybody points to, that prohibits secession, was a case involving the state of Texas. It was Texas v. White. And in that case, that's where it was the justices noted that states do not have a legal right to pull out of the union.
Yeah, that's right. And what was interesting in that, when Texas was admitted to the union in 1845, didn't they reserve the right to break into different states and succeed on their own? There was something about that when they came in with President Tyler.
I'll have to do my homework, but I suspect the entire city of Houston will be calling in momentarily to provide us with the information on that. But I seem to remember something. I can't remember my Texas history, but I think you may be right there.
All right, sir. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. 901-260-5926, our number. By the way, I've got to share this story with you. Speaking of North Carolina, there is a popular Christian boy band called the Heath Brothers, and they're, you know, the teeny boppers. They love the Heath Brothers. So anyway, they go and they perform at churches and other venues, and they also do these school events, and they performed an anti-bullying event at Hasty Elementary School. This is in Davidson County, North Carolina. So it was a fine performance. Again, they sang a number of songs, and then they gave the children a devotional pamphlet that included Bible verses. It was pretty typical stuff that one would expect from a Christian band. So anyway, somebody got upset about it and reached out to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. That's the atheist group from Wisconsin. We talk about them a lot. And they were enraged. They accused the school of being a recruiting ground for Christianity. And so they wrote a letter to the school superintendent, a guy by the name of Greg Slate. And instead of telling the atheist to pound sand, the school superintendent became horrified. And he was even more outraged than the atheists were over all of this. And so he wrote a letter. And we've got a copy of this letter, and he said that this was absolutely unacceptable, that children in public schools should not be getting any religious material at all. And he said that in Davidson County, North Carolina, the children are not allowed to receive any religious materials. Also, the superintendent apologized because apparently the band sang songs that mentioned God and Jesus. Oh, my. That's apparently a no-no in Davidson County, North Carolina. The superintendent going on to say that the distribution of religious literature is against our school board policy and legal precedent, and our staff has been reminded of this restriction. And basically, they were begging the atheist, please don't sue us. We will throw the Christians under the bus, but don't sue us, please. Anyway, it gets even worse. So the superintendent had the principal of Hasty Elementary School reach out to the Heath brothers, and they are demanding that the brothers remove a video posted on Facebook of the event. The principal apparently also got a dressing down because, according to the superintendent, he said she has additionally addressed any and all personnel issues regarding this incident. So what does that mean? That means somebody got in trouble here. Maybe somebody lost their job. We do not know. The superintendent goes on to say in Davidson County, North Carolina, that they strongly support a student's First Amendment rights. Well, clearly they don't. We are disappointed in the misrepresentation of assembly materials presented by the Heath Brothers organization. Oh, so they're throwing the Christians under the bus. So let me just say something here. This is a Christian boy band. It would take all of 2 seconds for somebody to Google and find out who these guys are before they were even invited. But somebody clearly dropped the ball. So there you have it. And the atheists are elated because they've got a friend in Dr. Greg Slate, who is a superintendent there in Davidson County, North Carolina. But if you're looking to move into Davidson County, ladies and gentlemen, know that the public school system there is no friend of the Christian people at all. All right, we'll talk more about this tonight on Newsmax. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. You got a problem here? Is it really a problem that Christian boy bands are performing in front of grade schoolers and teeny boppers? I don't know. 901-260-5926. Got to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio show. Hour three underway. Trust you folks are doing well today. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in this hour of the show, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Always a pleasure to welcome our good friend from the wellness company, twc.health/Starnes is the website. Peter Galluli with us. Peter, trust you're doing good today.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
Well, Peter, let's get going here. The Make America Healthy Again movement certainly does appear to be gaining steam and traction, and you guys were really at the forefront of this great movement with all of the things that you guys provide there at the Wellness Company.
Yeah, you know, we were extremely happy that the movement finally got coined a term here last year with Bobby Kennedy's run for president. And we've been doing this now for over 3 years, Todd, and I think that, you know, Make America Healthy Again is not something that started yesterday. It's something that's been ongoing since, you know, well, practically 2020. And I'm super proud that we have, you know, over a million customers now across the U.S. that have been working with us and kind of accepting their own personal responsibility for their health rather than outsourcing it to the government.
Well, and it's a great point. And again, when you look at the incredible things that you guys offer there at the Wellness Company, you know, over the years, have you seen growth from folks that are really concerned about wanting to make sure they have access to all of these, all of these medical kits and the services that you guys provide?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it really started for us, back with pandemic recovery. So, you know, obviously, Todd, there were tens and tens of millions of Americans who were, you know, coerced or lied to or otherwise misled into, you know, being vaccinated and looking to recover from that. And, that we developed and pioneered through Dr. McCullough's own research in his clinic, products like our Spike Detox that allows people to reclaim their health and kind of get rid of those lingering symptoms that many experience after the vaccine. That then grew into our emergency kits, giving Americans the ability to have everything from ivermectin to amoxicillin and Z-Pak in their medicine cabinets. You know, imagine that, Todd, having actual medicine in your medicine cabinets. And so many Americans have come forward since we started offering these products saying that, gosh, it saved my life. There was a hurricane, there was a blizzard, there was whatever event prevented them from getting access to basic medical services. And if they didn't have those medications on hand, something really bad might have happened. So it's those stories, Todd, that really keep us going and empower us to keep giving Americans everywhere these sort of solutions.
Well, no, and it's so well done, and you guys are just a first-class operation, and there are a lot of people out there trying to do what you guys are doing, but you guys were the pioneers, and that's one of the reasons why I'm a big fan. I'm also a customer, so I appreciate the great products that you guys provide, and I buy them, and I love all of the things from the supplements to the emergency medical kits. I do want to switch gears, Peter, because there's been a lot of conversation in the media about ivermectin and how ivermectin can now actually be used when dealing with things like these parasite cleanses. And a lot of people don't think about that, but they need to be thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely, Todd. And there's one lesson that I think all Americans should take away from the pandemic is that drugs are being repurposed for many, many different outcomes. And in fact, I don't know if you knew this, Todd, but approximately 80-90% of prescriptions today in the U.S. are prescribed for off-label uses, which is amazing. And it just goes to show you that many of the drugs that we take for granted, the basic stuff, I'm not talking about the fancy drugs that you see the pharmaceutical commercials on TV for where the people are dancing. I'm talking about the basic drugs that we rely on day in and day out. They serve so many different purposes. Parasites are a great use case that we've seen Americans flock to. It's not something that is relegated to third world countries. We all have dogs. We all have pets. And having, ability to cleanse yourself of potential parasites and toxins that get in your body is something that a lot of people can benefit from. We've seen so many people come and use our ivermectin and bendazole products to do just that.
And again, these are things that people just genuinely... I never would have thought about something like that. You think, oh, well, that's something that happens in, a third world country, not here in, Memphis, Tennessee, for example, where I live.
Yeah, absolutely. It's strikingly common. I think the most recent stat said something like one out of every five Americans has an active parasite in their body. And how do you know? It's very hard to detect.
It's really amazing, folks. And yet, again, more information at twc.health/starns. That's twc.health/starns. Peter, when you look at the kinds of products you offer, especially with the ivermectin, and you talk about these cleansings, are they safe for regular folk?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it too, Todd. Ivermectin and Mebendazole, these are not new drugs. They've been on the market for almost 100 years. And in fact, Mebendazole, which is in our parasite cleanse, was actually used to help cure the United States of pinworm back in the 1920s. So these drugs are proven for decades and decades. Ivermectin is so safe and so effective. It actually won the Nobel Prize, believe it or not. A lot of people don't know that. So having access to these medications, to me, Todd, feels like a basic human right, and we're happy to help facilitate that.
Well, I love it. And again, folks, head over to their website, TWC, the wellness company, twc.health/starns, and you're going to be able to get information, also all sorts of great discounts, and just go, and you're going to want to spend a lot of time just perusing all of the things they have available, including their awesome supplements as well. We don't talk a lot about those, but Peter, you guys have just a great selection of supplements for Americans as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And our most quickly selling supplement that we launched recently is our methylene blue. So a lot of people have seen, talk about methylene blue on social media, its effects at giving people back their kind of energy and lifting brain fog, and it's been flying off the shelf, Todd.
That's, well, I'm not surprised. All right, folks, go do your thing. Head over to the Wellness Company and check out all of the great products they have for you there. Peter, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
All right, Peter Galluli, everybody, from The Wellness Company, our good friends over there and longtime partners here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This insane story out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And a father showed up at the school board, and it's really my hat is off to this dad for keeping it cool, because I'm not sure I would have been able to have been cool as a cucumber based on what has happened to this guy and his young son. Now, his little boy is in elementary school, and you're going to hear the father explain what happened. He had to go to the Minneapolis school board meeting, and here's what he had to say.
Father of a third grader at Las Estrellas Elementary, Ms. Director, I had emailed you. I had emailed the principal, the assistant principal, and the school social worker. My son, 2 weeks ago, was exposed to a group of, let's say, gay men having sex on the iPad. And how my son came about it was he forgot his laptop at home, and your teacher lent my son his personal iPad. Well, when my son was doing a project with some of the other kids in the classroom, all of a sudden they closed out a tab. There was a bunch of naked men sitting right there in front of my son. And then all the other kids that had seen this, hey, they were shocked. But what's crazy is that I haven't heard nothing since. I didn't get a response from our superintendent. I had a meeting with your guys' assistant superintendent, your guys' assistant principal, but nobody had the decency to make my son important enough to show up to that meeting in the morning to tell me why he was able to be exposed to this type of material. Now, I've heard about the situation that happened at your guys' high school, at North High School, with the teacher that was involved with sexually explicit material as well. To me, I don't care what team you bat for, but you guys got to quit putting all this stuff in front of these kids, all this sexual material, regardless if it's a flag or if it's them actually seeing the content on an electronic device that is in school.
This is insane. The poor guy had to go to the school board because the school would not address the fact that his son's teacher had gay porn on an iPad that was provided to his child in that classroom. And look, I before you go, well, there's Starnes again. He's just homophobic. Look, I don't care what you do in your private life. That's between you and the Almighty and your next door neighbors who might have to hear it. That's not the issue here. The issue here is, why are you bringing that crap into the classroom? And it just seems to me, if in fact that's your proclivity, that, you know, you're into gay porn and gay orgies, then at least have the decency to make sure none of that stuff is on your iPad that you're giving to a child. Now, it just seems to me that a lot of people should be arrested here and charged with crimes against children. And I would start with the teacher and every other person this father went to try and correct this and get some relief here. I mean, the genie's already out of the bottle, ladies and gentlemen. This is insane. Now, we haven't talked a lot about this, and maybe we need to do a couple of segments on this, but there is an epidemic of sex fiends that are infecting our public schools all over America. I mean, the numbers of teachers that are either teaching kids about sex, giving them iPads that have gay orgies on them, teachers having sex with kids. It's insane. It's off the charts, and nobody's covering this. I mean, the national media, this is an epidemic, ladies and gentlemen, an epidemic. Nobody wants to talk about it. And why is it? Because the leftists control the schools. That's the reason why. That's why they're not touching any of this. You may hear local news reports about it, but it seems to me that if you would have had a father and he would have gotten up and he said, well, you know, the teacher gave my kid an iPad and it had a Billy Graham sermon. Holy crap. What? It would be wall-to-wall national news coverage. Billy Graham trying to proselytize children in Minneapolis. I'm just telling you. There would be a whole different response. And we could only hope and pray they were giving the children Billy Graham sermons. But this is what's happening in Minneapolis, which I'm a little surprised because they have a large Muslim population there and they don't put up with any of that mess. I'm just telling you. Meanwhile, there is a mom in Pennsylvania. This is the Pine Richland School District. And the mom went to the school board meeting and she wanted to thank her child's teacher. And I want you to listen to why she is thanking the child's teacher. Cut to.
I would like to recognize Miss Mansfield, especially, who is the best teacher my daughter has ever had. She lets her be as weird as she is, and she encourages it, and she enjoys it. And that is really meaningful to me and my family, because not having like a kid who's so... She calls my daughter Ellie Cat because during attendance, my daughter meows instead of saying here. And she doesn't make her feel bad about it. She just embraces it and she loves it. And that's really cool for me as a parent. And it's really cool for my daughter to feel seen in school. So I really appreciate that. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. So here's the situation. And the Pine Richland School District, this woman went before the entire school board, and she announced to the entire school board that her daughter is, in fact, a furry who identifies as a cat. Now,
meow, meow, meow.
This is insanity. So this woman, and she's... Again, she's humoring her child. By the way, I don't mean to paint with a broad brush and stereotype, but I'm looking at a video of the woman as she's addressing the school board, and I can understand why her daughter identifies as a cat. So I would just have a lot of questions here about this woman who allows her elementary school, her grade school child, to identify as a cat.
Meow.
What does this mean for the child? The poor child is in a class, and you know the other classmates are going to make fun of her, and the reason why is because the child meows instead of talks. I mean, God forbid, what happens if a bunch of the boys in the class suddenly identify as dogs? I mean, there could be a dog and cat fight in the classroom. But I am curious about this mom. How far does she take this delusion? Does she allow the daughter to use a litter box? Is that how she goes to the bathroom?
Meow.
What about food? Are we talking about meow mix? Are we talking about, I know, kibbles and bits? No, that's for the dogs. How does she feed her cat, her kitten, I suppose? These people are nuts. You do have to wonder, though. I mean, is there a point where somebody needs to go into the household and do some sort of a check? Make sure everything is okay here. Because if you are a grown adult and you're allowing your child to use a litter box and to meow and to eat meow mix, something is wrong with you. You are the one who needs to be fixed. Oh, I don't think we can say that word. I mean, not fixed in the term of neutered. I'm just, something's not right with you, mom. Thanking a teacher. And by the way, shame on the teacher.
Now, children, we just have to love everybody.
I'm wondering, does the child mark its territory in the classroom? Is that happening? Is the child running around on all fours? Is it bathing itself with its tongue? Is that what the child is doing in the classroom? Where do you draw the line here? That's what I want to know. Where do you draw the line?
Meow.
No, I don't mean to. I'm not making the child. I don't mean to make the child upset. I'm just asking, where do you draw the line? What happens if it coughs up a hairball? Nobody wants to see that in the lunch line. Come on, man.
Meow.
901-260-5926. Good golly. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. It is great to have you with us on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hang tight. We're going to your calls in just a matter of moments. Right now, though, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. There's a story developing out of Colorado that is incredibly disturbing. Female staffers working at the Colorado State Capitol having to deal with a man who identifies as a woman using their bathroom facilities. And it's just gotten out of control. The women now being bullied and harassed. But there is a great Republican who is standing up and defending these ladies. He's also running for governor, by the way, State Representative Scott Bottoms. Representative, good to have you with us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, I want you to take us through here and explain to our audience what happened.
So this is something that's been building for a while. You just said that these staffers, these aides, are being bullied. This has been an ongoing concept. The Democrat Party in the House and the Senate in Colorado, they truly are just completely far left leftists. They don't really represent the Democrats of the state, and so their ideology trumps everything else, and their transgender ideology rules the day. And they will pick on anybody. They've done this with me. I've got videos of this where they have yelled at me, gabbled me out of the well because I misgender somebody or something, and I just don't agree with that concept. That's a fake narrative. There's no such thing as misgendering and deadnaming. Well, now we've got another aide that has been stalking these female aides and going into the girls' bathroom. But we have state representatives that are going into the girls' bathrooms too that are men, just because they claim themselves to be women. And the Speaker of the House, she defends this, constantly defends this. These aides filed a formal complaint, and when they did, the Democrat machine completely clamped down on them. And this is basically state-sponsored misogyny and state-sponsored sexual harassment. And according to CADA, Disabilities Act in Colorado, they can do this because they don't care about people. They care about the ideology. And these young professional women have just been through a lot. And so that's why part of the reason I stepped in is to try to take some of the fight on and defend these girls in the process.
It's really a shame that we don't have big, huge security guards that are physically removing these guys from the ladies' room.
Well, we've actually videoed some of this where there was protest up in the chamber. This is looking down into the floor of the House where we do our business. And we've have videos of protests and things like that. And when the state police go over to do this, or the sergeant at arms, the Speaker of the House literally will signal to them, leave them alone. Let them do what they are doing. Her job, this is actually part of her written job as a Speaker of the House, is to shut this stuff down and to keep us safe as representatives and then keep our aides safe in the process. And it's the other way around. They started harassing these girls. They made sure that the media knew about this, although it was supposed to be confidential. They knew that they let the media know about this. It got on TikTok immediately. Transgender law groups started suing these girls. And the Speaker of the House was backing the whole thing.
It's just unacceptable. And I found even more atrocious was the reaction. I mean, these ladies were going through all of the right processes, from what I understand, a representative. And they were told, you can either go to the bathroom in pairs, you can go across the street to another bathroom in another building, or you can work remotely from your home. That's insanity.
Yeah, this is what we've been trying to get outside the bubble called Colorado. We are a Marxist state right now, and I could name 20 other things that would blow your mind that is happening in this state. But this was the response of legal and specifically the Speaker of the House is, girls, you are causing a problem. We do not want that problem. We want you to sit down and shut up. So you just stay together and stay in public, but we're not going to do anything to this man that is stalking them around the Capitol. And we have other representatives that have videoed this man stalking these aides around the Capitol, and nothing is done. The aides, the girls, are the ones that have become the bad guys in this scenario, and they're being ridiculed by the Democrats. They're being ridiculed by the media, because how dare you stand up and actually say my rights are being violated, my privacy is being violated, and I feel threatened by this man, and then they're the bad guys for saying that. It is bizarre, but we've been trying to get the message out because we can't do anything about it. We can't get the police to do anything. We can't get anybody, because our state is so Democrat controlled.
Well, it seems to me that you ought to be getting a significant amount of the female vote for governor. And I can't imagine why any female in that state would vote for a Democrat, knowing what they've done here.
Well, this is tied directly to the whole agenda. And I don't know if you had been paying attention to this on the national level, but we just passed a law in the House last week, and it's going to the governor now to sign it, that is making it legal to have your children taken away from you if you do not adhere to this transgender ideology. This has already been happening in the state, and we've had people testify about this, but it's all the same subject. The transgender ideology is a Marxist ideology. It's not the same thing as LGB. That's a sexual preference. This TQ plus, they are coming after your children. They are controlling your speech. They are controlling your actions. They will destroy women and children in the process. And this is the new Colorado. But I do believe what you're saying is right. The people of Colorado are tired of this, and I'm going to end up being governor because of this.
All right, real quick before we let you go, Scott, where can people go if they want to get more information about your campaign?
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's scottbottoms.com, BOTTOMS.
All right. Scottbottoms.com, ladies and gentlemen. Go check that out. If you have family in Colorado, tell them to go and check out his campaign platform. Scott, appreciate you coming on. We had a great conversation last night on Newsmax, and we appreciate you coming on the radio show today.
Thank you, sir, as always.
All right. There you go. Unbelievable what's happening there in Colorado. Let's go to the phones real quick, as promised, 901-260-5926. Kathy in Salem, Oregon, wants to weigh in on this cat mom. Hey, Kathy, what you got for us?
Well, I was just curious, when the little girl gets sick or needs her annual checkup, does she go to the vet? And instead of a sucker, she gets like a little treat, little meow. Dog treat or cat treat. How does that work?
It's a great question, Kathy. And again, how far do you take the delusion?
Does the vet play along? Has she found a vet that will?
I mean, my concern would be, and I don't know about Pennsylvania, but do they, when the child was born, was it meowing when it came, you know, when it came out of its mother's womb? I mean, was there an option on the birth certificate, you know, male, female, you know?
It might have.
Critter? I don't know.
Meow. I don't know. But I've heard that they do some goofy things with birth certificates. I've heard that they have more than just male or female.
There are two issues there, Kathy. Number one, you've got a lunatic mother, and she needs medical attention. And then you've got the teacher who is affirming this notion that a child can be a furry animal. That's a big problem, too.
Well, you don't call
real. Oh, geez, a loop. Cat there. Must be a cat in the studio somewhere. All right.
Starting that regarding that guy that you just spoke to, I actually quit a job over that.
Is that right?
Yes, I left because this guy just, he had to use our bathrooms, so I left.
There's a famous conservative television network that is not Newsmax, so I can't name the conservative news network that is not Newsmax. But they actually held a huge celebration to welcome a transgender dude into the ladies' room at this conservative television network in New York City.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope. I was there to see it all. Yeah, so Kathy, I hear you. That's just an insane story. Kathy, I got to run. Thank you so much for the call. And it's a fair question. I mean, do you take the kid to the vet, and does the vet have to play along? You know, they're telling doctors that you have to play along. You have to play make-believe with these transgender folks. So, I mean, if a kid identifies as a feline, what do you do? What do you do? All right, let's go to Mills River, North Carolina. Robert, what's on your mind?
Todd, how are you today?
A little weirded out, to be honest with you, Robert. Yeah, just a little weirded out.
I couldn't believe the father there that went to the school. That's what I was calling in about. Is that guy in jail in Indianapolis for giving that little kid that laptop, whatever what it was? I mean, is he in jail?
No, it was Minneapolis, Minnesota, and no, the teacher has not been charged to our knowledge, and the school, quite frankly, is covering all of this up. I mean, at this point.
Well, if we'd have been in this situation, Todd, when we was young, I'm about a year behind you in age, and I'm telling you, the teacher had to go to jail over something like that. Even if it was a porno magazine you give a kid or something, he'd be in jail.
Yeah, and again, what you do in your own business on your own time is you're afforded those rights under the U.S. Constitution, but you don't bring that stuff into the classroom. Robert, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for that. By the way, an update to the story we told you about yesterday in South Africa. You know, we brought in, 50, 60 refugees, white farmers from South Africa who were facing severe persecution. And the Episcopal Church came in and they said, well, we are no longer going to provide any assistance because we do not support these white refugees because of their skin color. So now we're hearing from the Episcopal Bishop himself, Cut 14.
Look at the thousands of people fleeing war and violence, people who are waking up dead around the world, people who have helped our military that are being left in camps on a daily basis. While white Afrikaners have been fast-tracked, you're right, it is about need. And if you look at this decision, this is really about people who have jumped the line. When you look at the fact that the entire refugee resettlement program in the United States has been totally gutted, that almost no refugees have been admitted since January, and the only ones that are being admitted are white Afrikaners, I don't know what that says. But we can't be a part of that.
Well, I'll tell you what that says, Episcopal Bishop. It says you owe the American people $50 million back. So it turns out that you great taxpayers out there, you've been giving the Episcopal Church over $50 million a year to handle all of these illegals. I love the fact that the guy was talking about, what was it about jumping the line? These people jump the line. The guy sounds like he's constipated. Could you imagine having to, I'm sorry here, but we're blessed with a great preacher, a great pulpiteer, but could you imagine having to hear that guy preach every Sunday? Jeez, Lou. I know they serve liquor during communion, but you'd have to take a couple of extra shots just to make it through that sermon. So anyway, the guy's over there. Yeah, we're not going to be helping you people bring any white folks into this country. No, that's not going to happen. I mean, I appreciate them being open and honest about it. I really do. That being said, I want our $50 million back. Well, we already spent it. Jeez, Alou. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. It has been a weird day. We'll be right back, America. All right, folks, some big news. The Todd Stern Show. It's on tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Got to watch it. Congresswoman Mary Miller joins us. Going to be a lot of fun. Iran, by the way, threatening to wipe Israel off the map and destroy America. UN inspectors say Iran close to getting nuclear weapons. That could be just weeks away. President Trump says that is not going to happen. He's even moved two aircraft carriers into the area, and that is the big story on Newsmax. Rob Finnerty covering it all this week, exposing the real threat. You can tune in at 8 o'clock Eastern tonight for Rob's series, Stop Iran, and find out Trump's secret plan to fix all of this. Watch Finnerty on Newsmax on all major cable systems. President Trump says he watches Newsmax all the time, and you should too. So download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. You can sign up for Newsmax Plus to watch us anytime, anywhere. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax because it really is real news for real people. All right, let's go to Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hi, Gary. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I was just thinking, I was reading some stuff across the wire in the last 24 hours when you were speaking to the gentleman about in Colorado, and something I, a little known story today, but I'm hoping it gets a lot of traction, was that a new district attorney that came into power in January, Amy Padden, took over a case of a 15-year-old illegal immigrant who is DUI and had been charged with DUI manslaughter. He's doing 90 miles an hour, killed a 24-year-old college student who graduated with her master's. And it took her less than 35 days to take the case, and she resolved it by giving the 15-year-old 100 hours of community service and 2 years probation. And what really caught my attention is in her quotes in the document, it says that she strongly disciplined him by telling he must attend school and obey laws. And what caught my attention on that was also that in our county, we had a 15-year-old juvenile who keyed a Tesla 2 months ago, and he was sentenced to 90 days in the juvenile detention center and 2 years probation, and his parents have to pay to have the Tesla painted. And it just amazes me on the different justice that's delivered around the country.
Well, it goes back to that two-tiered justice system, one set of rules for all of us taxpayers and another set for the Democrats and for their illegal alien invaders. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are frustrated by this. We're seeing it play out right now, by the way, Gary, in Newark, New Jersey, where there's no reason why those three Democrat lawmakers should be walking the streets right now. If you or I had physically attacked a federal agent, we would be in jail right now.
You bet.
All right.
Appreciate you taking my call.
Gary, I'm happy to do it, and thank you for calling in. And it's a sobering reminder of what we are dealing with here in this country. Folks, real quick, before we have to scoot out, we've been talking about, and we're really starting to beef up the promotion of my brand new book. And this is the only place we get to do it is on this national radio show. And so I need your help. You guys get to be the grassroots support behind the new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. This is my ninth book. And I will tell you, unlike a lot of folks in this industry, I write every single word of my books. We don't use ghostwriters. Just don't do that. My co-author, Michelle Cox, says she and I write devotion books together. And we had a lot of fun writing this one. And you're going to be introduced to patriots who discover the secret to happiness was not politics or power, but it was their Christian faith. So I want you to get a copy of this, pre-order one. We're really urging people to get out there and pre-order. We've had a lot of delays in publishing and printing, so we want to make sure that you get your copy on June 17th when it officially arrives in bookstores. Star Spangled Blessings. We will see you tonight at 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Back on the radio tomorrow, noon Eastern. Get out there and have a great one. You be good, America.